I've had an exciting past couple of months. God's given me the privilege to do some traveling in some places that I'd not been before. And one of the things that, as I came through this last several months, I've just been reminded of God's goodness and those that have gone before us. And I was reminded of the passage in Hebrews 10. I want to read, or Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 10, but I'm not going to read it all. I want to begin in Hebrews 11, 6. I want to talk about those that have gone before us. As I thought about in Scripture, those that had gone before, then I want to talk about some folks that you may know and others that have gone before us. And then I'd like just to tell you a few stories about what God has done or what the potential is for God to do. And if should God give me the opportunity to be in front of you again a year from now, then I'm hoping to talk about some people that have gone before us this next year, that you'll be some of those folks. Hebrews, beginning in 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For the one who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. For there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand by which is by the seashore. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, of the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by the resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword, they went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world is not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And then in chapter 12, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the one who is the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I've thought a lot about those that have gone before us. And I've thought a lot about men and women of Scripture that God has used. Men and women really very much like we are. And the way that God showed himself so mighty through their lives. You know, sometimes it's really hard for me to relate to those folks. So I began to think of others that had gone before. And I began to think of some that God has used in some incredible ways. I thought about a story that I've heard just in the last couple of months. Back in the year 2000, there were a team of students that went to a city in North China. On that team was a young man named Jerry. And while he was in that city of Dalian, Jerry met a young man named Rob, and he began to get to know him and shared the gospel with him, helped him with his English conversational skills. This young man was a Tibetan Buddhist going to school there in the city of Dalian, and Jerry was there for the summer. And Rob is the young Tibetan's name, American name, English name, really didn't have any interest in Christianity. But before Jerry left, he introduced him to Robbie, who was a journeyman there in that city. And Robbie spent some time with Rob and tried to share the gospel with him. And they were acquaintances. I don't know that they were close friends. I think Robbie was a little frustrated that this young Tibetan Buddhist really didn't have any interest in spiritual things. He didn't have interest in becoming a Christian. But he was there for a couple of years. And he graduated, and he went home to a city in Tibet. It just so happens that there was a young journeyman in the city where Rob lived. And she was out one day fixing her bicycle. She'd gone to a bicycle shop. They're everywhere along the street. Lots and lots of them. I guess she was getting a flat tire fixed. And she wasn't going to be in the city too much longer. But there was another young man named Rich who was coming to that city to serve for 2 years. And Marcy really wanted to be able to introduce Rich when he arrived, wanted to be able to introduce Rich to some young Tibetan men that maybe he'd have an opportunity to share the gospel with him. So she just began to pray that God would enable her to meet someone that she could introduce to Rich when he got there. Well, it just so happened, quite by chance, that Rob happened to stop at the bicycle shop at the same time Marcy was there. And they struck up a conversation. Rob's English was pretty good. And they struck up a conversation, and after a little bit, Marcy asked him, "I've got a friend that's moving to this city before too very long. Would you be interested in meeting an American that... and get to know him and maybe show him around the city?" And Rob said, "Sure, that'd be great. I'd love to do that." And so when Rich arrived, he met Rob. Now, Rob had gone, I think, by his Chinese name when he was in Dalian, or by another name. And about, what's it been now, 2 months ago? Two, 3 months ago? In May. Last May, this young Tibetan Buddhist committed his life to the Lord Jesus. Now, the interesting thing about all that is that Marcy went through Focus to that city on a summer project and then returned as a journeyman. Jerry, who went to Dalian, was on a Focus team. Robbie, who I've known since he was in the seventh grade, was there as a journeyman. And this young Tibetan Buddhist man, when Robbie first heard about him, he said, "No, I couldn't know him. He went, that's a different name." And so Rich sent Robbie a picture. And over a period of 3 years, God took this young man's life and put him in touch with Jerry and Robbie. He crossed 2,000 miles and went back to his home city where he met Marcy and Rich. And 3 years later, committed his life to the Lord Jesus. just by chance. You know, I thought about those who've gone before. Is Chris Kennedy here? Is Chris here tonight? He's not here. Chris went with a team this past summer to Afghanistan. We weren't sure he was going to make it. For those of you that know Chris, Chris is another one of those who I thought about as men who've gone before. There was a mix-up with his passport, and it got lost in the mail, and his team left, and he didn't go. And we prayed and looked at the mail and hunted and waited, and God provided that passport. It got returned to the place it was sent. We got it overnighted, got Chris on a plane. I think he was about 10 days late. He got off of that plane, and the team met him at the airport, and he said, Chris, we're going to take you back to the guest house. You can get some sleep, and then we're going on over to the university. And Chris said, no, you're not. I'm going with you. And when he arrived on that campus, the students had been waiting for him and cheered when he arrived. And I don't know all of Chris's stories, and they really are his to tell. But I want to read a story to you from one of the other young men on that team. And by the way, I'm a little bit embarrassed to say we didn't have great expectations or great faith that God was going to do anything of all that much significance in Afghanistan. We were praying that some seeds would be sown. After class one Thursday, Matt said, I was approached by a student who we'd been praying for. He had previously approached another teammate in secret and said that he loves Jesus and wants to learn about Christianity. He didn't say he was a Christian, he just said he loved Jesus. Because we lived in the same direction, this young man invited me to ride home with him on his bicycle. I didn't realize that another friend of his was also going to be coming with us on his own bike. At first, I thought this was going to be a distraction to our conversation until I realized how close their relationship was. Before we even left the campus, my friend turned to me and said, okay, you should begin. I asked him some questions to try and understand what he knew about Christianity. When we reached his bicycle, he said to me, ride on the back of my bike and tell me about Jesus. Both sounded extremely exciting to me, especially with the challenge of navigating traffic, dodging potholes, people, animals of all kinds, and insane drivers, while attempting to keep my wits about me so that I could communicate the greatest story ever told. Now, we don't know for sure if this young man committed his life to Christ, but those men and women that served in Kabul, Afghanistan this summer are men and women that I think about when I think about those that have gone before us. I was in Beirut not too long ago, a couple of months ago. Had the privilege of visiting a couple of campuses there, very prestigious universities. And we were told by a missionary that works there that there was one teacher at the university that we needed to meet, and they set up an appointment. He said, just ask her anything you'd like to about how we might work with university students in Beirut. She's getting ready to retire. She's a believer. And she's had tremendous impact on the lives of students here in Beirut. So you can feel free to ask her anything that you'd like. Well, it became very obvious after about 3 or 4 minutes with this dear woman that all I needed to do was say hello and I love Jesus and I love students and then just listen. She began to tell a story of what God has done in that place. How that she had to leave her husband on the campus during the war through the 90s. And that, I don't remember exactly what the time frame was, but when she returned, They offered her several positions on administration, and she refused to take them. She really wanted to teach world religions, because if she would teach world religions, it would give her the opportunity to teach Christianity. And so she had a world religions class. I think she also had an English class. And it just so happened that there were some young men that they'd refused to come to class, but they needed to pass the class that they were in. And so they came to her and asked her about the final, and she said, "Well, I'm sorry, but since you've not come to class, you're not going to be allowed to take the final. There's no way you can pass this class." And so they threatened her. And she knew that it was going to be a very difficult thing. So when time for the test came, this dear woman stood at the door and let all of the students in except these young men that had missed all of the other classes. And they threatened her again. A couple of days later, she was leaving the campus. She was leaving that building she was in. We were actually there. And as you go out the door, you walk down a flight of about 20 or 30 steps. And she said, "As I opened the door, I realized a couple of things. First of all, I was the only one left in the building. There was no one else around. And when I opened the outside door, there were these young men with several other friends around them. And it was very, very obvious to me that they meant to do me harm. So I just began to pray." And she said, "In just a moment, as I prayed, someone touched my shoulder, and I turned and looked, and there was a man standing next to me, and he said, 'Let me take you.' And he took her by the arm and walked down the steps with her and walked through the crowd of young men. And they didn't bother her at all. And she turned to thank her escort, and he was gone." She said, "Isn't God good that he would give me my own angel?" She's one who's gone before. She's getting ready to retire. Who will take her place? I want to tell you about some others that have gone before. How many of you here were in Cambodia this past summer? Would you all stand up just a minute? I want you to look around at your friends who've gone before. Thanks, you guys. I want to read you a letter, or part of a letter that I received about these men and women. And this isn't to praise them, but to honor a God who they chose to obey. This letter is from the missionary in Cambodia that we've worked with. He wrote and he said, "For several years now, Focus International, OUBSU, and students from other campuses such as OBU and others working with Focus have sent teams of students to assist us here in the work of reaching and discipling Cambodian students for Christ. Even from that first big group that found themselves trapped," this was 1997, "trapped in the middle of a violent military coup, your students have marked the work here in Cambodia in unforgettable ways. The quality of students you've sent us and the quality of training they've received has prepared them better than any other students we've ever had for the kind of ministry challenges and opportunities that we face here in Cambodia. Your students have been spiritually focused on the task, men and women of prayer, ready to work together as a team and one unit alongside our personnel, flexible to the changing situations we find ourselves here, teachable and desiring to learn more of what the missionary task is all about, encouraging of local personnel here in their long-term task, disciplined in the management of their time and energies, spirit-filled in their attitudes, and in all other ways a blessing to work and fellowship with during their mission stay. The kind of students you've sent has also provided several wonderful longer-term personnel for the work over these years. From that first group in the summer of 1997, trapped in the coup, came four unforgettable personnel who got student work here off the ground and we saw our first core group of believers discipled, trained, and equipped for ministry. The kinds of students you've sent us have also been a very meaningful source of encouragement, inspiration, and help in my own ministry and to my family. As you know, this past summer, my father was diagnosed with a severe heart condition that required emergency surgery, and I had to fly back to the U.S. for a week to help my mother during the time when the Focus team was working here with us. They not only continued to function and perform their ministry in exceptional fashion, they even made special efforts to reach out to meet the needs of my family while I had to be away. For this, I will be forever grateful. These students marked my life as well. I don't know what to say other than thank you for being such a blessing to the work here. You all have been more of a blessing to us than I know how to express. However, the task here is far from finished. Our belief is that students must have a significant and strategic part in our envision for the work here in Cambodia. And that envision is the establishment of a core group of indigenous, maturing, and multiplying New Testament churches committed to the Great Commandments and the Great Commission, who are able to lead Khmer Baptists toward reaching every community in Cambodia and around the world for Christ. We pray now that God will continue to allow us to partner together in seeing this vision become a reality. I thought about those who've gone before us. And what a privilege that it's been for me to get to know so many of those who've gone before. I want you to meet some students from Syria. Let's see the video.
You have to study because English is very difficult. But we have fun with my family at my plane when you go to shopping.
Hanging out with friends, you know, downtown, maybe computers, something like that.
I love swimming, especially.
Swimming?
Especially with girls.
You heard about the cranberries?
Yeah.
Or red hot chili peppers?
We
shake.
Who?
Shake.
My joy in life is a very difficult question to answer. I don't know, maybe peace.
Peace brings you joy? Just inner peace or world peace? Or
inner peace and peace and world in our region.
When I see my family, I like to live here in Latakia. I have here my grandmother, my grandmother's house. I like to visit them. And I'm very happy.
When I see people happy, really, I feel happy. When I see my my country growing up, yeah, I feel happy. When I see space and life between people, really, I feel happy. There are many things that make me happy, like seeing you here. That's really, really, I will be very happy, and I be very happy when I see foreign people in Syria.
I speak about all Syrian people. We love you. We are not close to you. We like peace and like everyone from them.
Very glad to see you and welcome all of you in our country. And please, I want to send this letter to who will see me. Yeah, who will see me and will hear me to come to Syria and to see how Syria is beautiful. Really, it's beautiful. And our people, I think, the most kind people in the world. Really, believe me, come and say that. I want to say that. And thank you very much for.
And my message for them to come and see my country. It's very beautiful and the people here is very kind. And we are not, as they called, are tourism and not because you see. And our country like the peace and seeks for the peace.
Many people do not want to know about Jesus.
One of my prayers is that a year from now, some of those students that you just saw will be those that have gone before us, that God will give them the opportunity to hear the good news about the Lord Jesus. I want to introduce you to Lisa and Tomek. Lisa and Tomek are Chechen. And I had the privilege of meeting them just a few weeks ago. They're refugees in Russia. We think there are about 2 million Chechens, both in Chechnya and outside. And as best we know, there are less than 100 Chechen believers, one Chechen church. And I had the privilege of meeting about 6 or 8 of those believers. Tomek and Lisa are two. Tomek has no job, no ability to get a job. God is providing in just some unique ways for him to take care of his family, his wife Lisa and two children. And they love the Lord Jesus. One of the things that's very, very much on his heart is they live in a city called Nalchik, which is down on the Chechen border, about 70 miles from the Chechen border. And they work with young people in a Russian Baptist church there. Now, youth in Russia are not the same as youth in America. Youth in Russia are ages 17 until they get married. So 17 to 30 and you're a youth. Okay? Tomek and Lisa are no longer youth. Not because of their age, but because they're married. But Tomek has a real commitment to work with youth, and particularly to see Chechens come to know the Lord Jesus. And there are hundreds of them in this city, thousands that are scattered around outside of Chechnya. The war still goes on. Russians and Chechens are killed every day. While we were there, Lisa's mother had gone back to Grozny. And they had not heard from her for several days. She was trying to get some paperwork to see if there was any way at all that they might be able to immigrate out of Russia. And they had not heard from her. Tomek very much would love to be able to help young men and women in that city where he lives come to faith, and would be thrilled to work with some American students that would come and be a part of something. We visited the university in that city, and it was very unusual. They met with the associate or the assistant to the president, the head of the linguistics department, a couple of people from the English department. And their question to me was, what do we need to do to guarantee that you'll send American students here this summer? I've never been asked that. He said, do you have a contract? Could we sign a contract today? And I said, no, we can't. I don't know if there'll be anyone that would have an interest in coming to the city. It's a beautiful city. I said, I don't know if there'll be American students that would be interested in coming. But God is working in that place. And it's my desire that a year from now, you would know, some of you would know, Tomek and Lisa, and what God is doing in that place, and that you would be those that have gone before. Turn that off. Could I get the house lights back up? Thanks. I have been incredibly blessed to meet the men and women that God's given me the privilege to meet. Those of you that are in this room that have walked with us to take the good news of the Lord Jesus to the ends of the earth. I don't know if you realized it or not, that campus that we were on in Syria, those students were just like you. Just like you. I have never been on a campus where we felt more welcomed than we were on that one. Bunch of old gray hairs walking around. We met with the president there, walked around campus a little bit, and students came up to us and initiated conversation with us. They hate our politics, but they love Americans. I think one of them or two of them even told us they did. God is doing a work that He wants you to be a part of. And I want to challenge you to ignore anything that you've heard about focus orientation. And make a decision that you will be willing by faith to trust God, to allow you to be a part of those who have gone before that will touch the lives of Cambodians and Kenyans and Germans and Chinese and Thai and Chechens and Syrians and Afghans, that you'll trust God to provide the finances, that you'll trust God with your safety, that you'll trust God to touch the lives of your parents, that they will give their blessing for you to take a step of faith that God is calling you to take. If you've got any questions at all about how you might be involved this summer, you can ask your staff. Kyle and I'll be around tonight. We'd love for you to ask us some questions. Kyle knows all the details. I can give you some of the big picture and some of where we're going. We've got some business cards with our website on it. Some of you already know where that is. We're going to be at Life Impact. Speaking of which, if you don't go anywhere else this year, and if you're thinking, I can't go overseas this summer, you have got to seriously consider going to Life Impact. Nick Ripken, who will be keynote speaker, I heard in London, I'm not going to steal your thunder, but I heard in London last year, and my life has never been so touched by any single story of God's power as when I heard Nick speak. He is an incredible tool that God has used and had his hand on. And when he talks, you see the hand of God. Don't miss the opportunity to be there. Don't miss it. If you don't have anything planned, anything else planned of significance, don't miss Life Impact. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for the privilege that you've given me tonight to tell the stories of those who've gone before us. And God, as I look over these men and women, and I think of so many others who have walked before them, who have prayed over them, who've invested in their lives, who've loved them, parents and Sunday school teachers, campus ministers, friends. God, I pray that tonight you would remind them of those who've gone before. I pray, God, that you would touch their hearts and their lives, that they might consider the ones who've gone before, that they would throw aside everything that hinders them from being what you've called them to be, that they would run with perseverance the race that you've set before them. God, I pray that your Spirit would work in their lives, that you would draw them to yourself and send them to the nations. I ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.